The blaster wag that brought up the rear of the train loomed above Paul like a cliff. He finished tying the little engine's throttle in the wide open position and stood up. The 50 caliber blaster was booming overhead. Paul had long since gotten under the umbrella of safety, below which the big machine gun couldn't shoot. It didn't matter much for his yawl, though. The little craft was shaking now as if suffering from some kind of seizure. Its skinny tires began to bounce on the rails. There were hand and footholds welded to the end of the blaster wag. The yawl raised toward a collision with the car. Paul walked a few steps to the front of the platform, holding his arms out for balance. He braced himself. Paul jumped, caught handholds, swung a dizzy moment above the fast-moving ground, then got his toes into the foothold. He looked back. His yawl was bouncing like a bucking Brahma bull. It got transverse to the tracks, flipped, and cartwheeled down the embankment, its path angling away from the train.
"Goodbye, baby! I'm so sorry!"
He pressed his cheek against Magog. The armor plate was cool. Even though he was shielded from the buffeting wind of the railwag's passage, he couldn't hold on very long before his arm strength gave out. But he believed he wouldn't have to.
"Now what?"
"We're approaching the Grandy Gorge rail bridge, sir."
"So? At least we're here on schedule."
"There's someone on the bridge, General."
"What? Now what?"
Hubertus moved to the table next to the General's chair, picked up a remote control, and pressed a button. A panel slid up on the front bulkhead, revealing a large screen monitor. It showed a single figure standing perhaps 50 yards out onto the bridge over the sheer-walled canyon. Ryan felt his whole body tingle.
"Increase magnification."
The image grew larger. It was Christie. She had an AT-4 Wagchiller rocket launcher shouldered, but not yet aimed at the onrushing train.
"That bitch! Full speed ahead, run her down! It'll take more than a shoulder-fired rocket to stop my train!"
The guards who held Ryan's arms were watching in amazement and growing apprehension. They were apprehensive about the wrong thing. With a powerful twist of his hips, Ryan yanked his left arm free. The guard on that side had let his grip go slacker than his buddy's. Ryan instantly reversed the rotation of his hips and came back with a savage knife-hand strike that collapsed the guard's windpipe. Strangling on his own cartilage, the guard clutched his throat. The other guard leapt on Ryan's back. He wrapped his arms around the one-eyed man's head, clawing for his eye.
"Fucker!"
Ryan backed up hard against an oak-paneled wall, trying to dislodge the guard, who bit at the top of his head and began pummeling him with one hand. Ryan staggered from the wall. He was punching back over his shoulder with one hand and trying to haul the man off with the other. Hubertus appeared before him. The sides of the man's tunic bulged and worked, as if some creature trapped inside with him was trying desperately to escape. Then, a side seam parted, and a greenish, jointed crustacean claw unfolded, tipped with a sting like a scorpion's tail. It lashed out at Ryan.
"Shit!"
Ryan ducked and leaned forward. The sting sank into the sec man's trapezius muscle just behind his left shoulder. Ryan threw him off, then dodged to his right to avoid a darting thrust as a second claw snapped as if spring-loaded from the intel chief's other side. The poison tip struck the wall and stuck momentarily in the paneling.
"Damn it!"
The injured guard was howling as if he were on fire, spinning around the room, grabbing at the place where the stinger had gone home. Already his neck and shoulder were swelling with great purple-green buboes as the hematotoxin made the blood cells in his veins literally explode. His wild gyrations took him right into the General and knocked the 45 caliber hand blaster the commander had just drawn spinning from his hand.
"Idiot!"
The stricken guard's screaming reached a crescendo as the whole left side of his neck ruptured. Blood, already shot through with the black of corruption, erupted and painted the low ceiling with arterial spray. Hubertus's glasses had fallen away. His eyes, rimmed in red and yellow, stood out on short, fleshy stalks. The pupils were hooded slits in golden irises. The intel chief wrenched his claw free from the wood. Ryan circled clockwise as he backed away from the monster. Something bumped the back of his leg. Ryan's hand reached reflexively behind him. Heat seared his skin. He grabbed the chafing dish he had bumped into and hurled it at Hubertus. Liquid fire soaked the front of his tunic. The cloth blazed up as if it had been drenched in gasoline. The skin and flesh of the intel chief's face began to melt. He burned with an acrid chemical stench. He Hubertus turned and ran blazing to the outer door. He yanked it open and flung himself from the train. The general hit Ryan on the blind side, slamming him into the wall. The wood veneer split where Ryan's head smashed into it. His vision wavered. The general's weight bore Ryan down to the luxuriant carpet. The man was 20 years older than he, but powerfully muscled and fit.
I am so fucking sick of you and all your fucking friends!
He constantly rained blows down on Ryan with a brass lamp. Blood obscured Ryan's eye. He grappled blindly for the hand that held the lamp.
General, the track!
The general paused with the lamp cocked and ready for another whack.
What about the fucking track?
It's broken.
With a convulsive shake of his head, Ryan cleared blood from his good eye and joined the general in staring at the big monitor. The view field had shifted to show the bridge. At this magnification, it was glaringly obvious how the tracks had been pried up and bent to run to the right of the bridge. Straight off the sheer cliff, above a 1,000-foot drop.
Oh, shit.
The sight was enough to distract anyone, even the general. And then the car lurched forward as the driver hit the brakes in a frenzied but futile attempt to slow the monster engine. Ryan dug his heels into the carpet and gave a mighty upward pelvic thrust. It didn't dislodge the older man, but it did get him off balance and into position for Ryan to slam his right boot into the side of his head and knock him sprawling. Ryan was up on all fours and scrambling wildly for the open door. The howl of the wind was like mocking laughter. Lying a few feet aside on the carpet was a Sig Sauer. He veered aside just far enough to snag it in passing and then followed Hubertus out into the morning. The general laboriously picked himself up. Locked steel wheels screamed like banshees. Christy was back in frame on the monitor. She wasn't even pretending to aim the Wagchiller anymore. It had only been a prop, an added distraction to keep Magog's crew from noticing the diversion of the track before it was too late. Although by the time the train had come around the final bend before the gorge, given its enormous mass and length, it had almost certainly been too late already. As the general stood, the tall, red-headed woman looked up straight into the camera. It was as if their eyes met.
God damn, you're good, lady.
He came to attention and snapped off a perfect salute. And held it as Magog rushed off the edge and into space at 40 miles an hour. The brakes were singing their last useless song. People were dropping off the train like ripe fruit in an orchard. Nonetheless, Christie's companions, including their technomad helpers, stood up from the rocks where they had been hiding near the track to watch. It wasn't the sort of thing you couldn't watch. The people bailing out of Magog had other things on their minds anyway.
Oh, there was good tech on that train.
There were good people on that train, Lightning.
Whatever, Mildred.
Gone's gone. Myself, I make it a habit never to miss what I never had.
JB removed his fedora.
Good riddance, Elton.
One thing I believe we may safely say, my friends, that is something one does not see every day.
On the far side of the train, Ryan made himself go limp as he hit. Bounced, rolled, bounced, and rolled. He felt an odd sense of detachment, as if this were happening to somebody else. He certainly had no control of the situation, or any hope of gaining any. He just went along and hoped he wouldn't hit anything too big, and that he'd stop rolling shy of the canyon. As the engine launched itself on its final journey, Christy began walking forward, heedless of the proximity of the linear avalanche of steel. Her safety didn't matter now. She wasn't exulting. She felt a certain sense of completion. Mostly, she felt a floating numbness, as if her feet had gone to sleep. No more sense the track bed beneath them. The train was a waterfall of metal and noise. The noise of a mighty crash floated up from below as the engine struck the valley floor. The train began to telescope and bend as more and more cars piled on. She approached the end of the bridge. Still, the cars swept by to their doom. People were flinging themselves off, heedless of the speed. The last car passed. She saw a figure clinging to the rear. A familiar figure, waving.
Paul.
Grinning like a boy with a brand new toy, Paul the Rail Ghost shouted something to her.
I really did catch.
She would live out the rest of her life believing she had somehow heard him say, "Look it, Christy, I really did catch the last train for the coast." And then they were dropping away, he and his beloved behemoth.
Now who's part of the madness, Paul?
Another figure was rolling along the ground toward her. A man who had possessed enough sense to relax and just let himself roll, rather than stiffen his limbs so they'd shatter on impact. Her friends were approaching from her left. The man stopped, almost at the toes of her boots. A blue eye looked up at her. A single blue eye.
Morning, lover. Nice day for a little spin.
Ryan!
She sagged. The strength went out of her knees. She folded down beside him. He sat up and caught her. Their lips joined in a kiss that lasted a lifetime. Standing nearby beside his gaping friends, Jack nodded in quiet satisfaction.
See, said Ryan not dead.